Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful weekend. Things you may have been praying to God for, you have seen the manifestation in them, and you realize that no matter what you're going through in life, that God has you in the palm of His hand. We have to just hold on, because the world as we know it is full of evil on every side. But even in the midst of everything that's going in, we could hold on that God is in control and He's working it out for our good if we love Him. Our lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is Prepare Yourself to Receive What God Has for You. It's coming from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, verses 1 through 9. And as always, I play a song to get our minds and usher ourselves in to receive the word of God. And the song that I'm going to play tonight, I think, is very appropriate for this lesson. After that, we'll go to the throne of grace and we'll explore the word of God together. Be prayerful for our Bible study on tonight. And remember to pray for one another.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, I believe that song was so appropriate for our lesson tonight. And it's a piggyback from our lesson last week when we was talking about a time and a season for everything under the sun. You know, whenever God talks about seasons, he's talking about reaping and harvesting. And you have to know the seeds that you have planted. You don't know when they're going to come up or how they're going to come up. But God promised that he will give you a return that you can't even imagine. But you got to plant the seeds to be able to receive the harvest and wait and see what God has in store for you. Right now it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. The Bible teaches that in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. So if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mics and you could pray. You know, sometime on Wednesday, I just would like to hear a prayer. You know, sometime I'm standing in a need of prayer. And, you know, that's why God affords this opportunity to anyone who would like to pray. It's going to be a time in our lives, the way the world is going, and the Bible teaches that all we're going to be able to do is pray. So this is our training room. And if anyone would like to pray, just press the one button on your phone. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, all I want to do is say thank you. Thank you for affording us this opportunity where we could come together, believers in Christ, one with another, as we explore your word together. God, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, your loving kindness, your faithfulness that you have shown towards us. I thank you for this day that you have allowed us to wake up and breathe, dear God, and have movement and have a reasonable portion of health and strength and having time in our schedule to stop right here and explore your word. Lord, I pray that you don't allow the word to return void and that the Holy Ghost open up the hearts and the mind of the people to hear what you have to say. Lord, I decrease as you increase. Holy Ghost, have your way with this lesson tonight. Lord, and I'm going to be careful to always give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you're worthy. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity you have given me. And, Lord, I want you to know that I don't take it lightly. And I know that I must show up and be in position. But I know you give the increase. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. When I listened to that song that I played earlier, it had some points in it, and I don't know if you caught it, but it's reflective of the lesson tonight. There was a part in the song towards the end when the guy who sang the song, name is Donald Lawrence, he said, you know, it's a promise that God made to his seeds, to Abraham's seeds, to walk into his season, for the people of the Israelites to be able to walk into the inheritance that he promised Abraham many, many, many years before. That's why you could believe if God said it, you could believe it. You're not afforded the privilege to say the time when it should be manifested. But you could wait with God, wait on God with patience. And you could believe if he said it, he's going to do it. So in our lesson tonight, I'll say the title again because we have some more callers came in. And I want to thank all of the callers that are listening on the Internet and go all during the week and pull up the programs that has been taught on Wednesday night. And far as the stats that I received from the company, Blog Talk Radio, it appears that we have different people in different companies, countries, who are listening to the program. And to each one of you, I want to take this time to say thank you. Thank you for tuning in and listening and hopefully praying for us as we pray for you. Lord, I just thank you, and I thank each and every one of you because I know there are plenty people you could be taught by, plenty different ways you could be taught, but you take time out of your busy schedule and come here on Monday or either pull the Internet program up during the week. And for that, I say thank you. Well, our program tonight, the title is Position Yourself to Receive What God Has for You. You know, I think our last little lessons was talking about you got to be in position. You know, you got to wait for your season. You got to be ready for your season. And this lesson is like in the same area with that. If you study the Word of God, you will see that the Word of God is connected. It's like a 360-degree circle. You could read a part of the Word of God today and 5 years later read it, but because of your understanding, you know, you get a different meaning out of it. So tonight we're going to be in Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. So the background that I'm going to use for the lesson tonight is about Joshua. I want you to know that Joshua is the author of the book of Joshua, which is found in the Old Testament. Joshua is best known as Moses' second in command. Joshua is considered one of the Bible's greatest military leaders. You see, Joshua was the one that, after the Israelites was out of bondage in Egypt, and they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their disobedience. Joshua is the one that's going to take the lead when they get right on the boundaries of the promised land. And Joshua would have 7 years of fighting and conquering the promised land for the people. You see, that's why Joshua is considered one of the greatest generals in human history. But I don't want you to just focus on Joshua. And it would be a mistake to credit all of Israel's victories solely on Joshua's skills. Because one thing you have to keep in mind, God was with him. You see, God promised Abraham that his descendants would dwell in a land. And under Joshua, God brought the people to the land that he had promised to give them. You know, God told Abraham that so long ago. That was before, you know, after Abraham didn't have children. And then he had Isaac and Jacob. And they had the 12 sons and the 12 tribes of Israel. And so on and so on and so on. And Joseph was sold into slavery, and they didn't have any food. And then Joseph's family came to get food. And that's what you got to remember, how the children, the Israelites, first got into Egypt, and everything was going all good. But you got to remember, last week's lesson said change is inevitable, but growth is an option. You see, everything was fine, but then there was a change. The man, the king, the kings, because it was more than one, it was over a period of time, the kings that loved Joseph, they all had died. Now they got a new king who have no allegiance to Joseph and decide that the Israelites was prospering too much and they was getting too large in numbers, and he decided to make them slaves. That's how they got in Egypt. And after being enslaved in bondage in Egypt for all of those years, they cried out to God. God sent Moses to set the people free. You see, this act that Joshua was fixing to do was something that God had been promised. It is also a point. It also points. You know, whenever God uses things in the Bible, remember that God wrote the Bible. God inspired the Bible to be written. He picked 40 men from all walks of life, and everything he thought was necessary in the Bible for us as well as for them, that's what was written. So as God delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, he's also letting us know, you got to look, because everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament, the coming of Jesus Christ. But he wanted us to see that this is also, you know, points to the fact that Jesus Christ would deliver us from our bondage and slavery to sin. And just like Joshua was bringing the children to the promised land, Jesus will bring us to the eternal promised land where we would have everlasting rest. You know, when you read the Bible, you got to open up your eyes and you see, God, what is you trying to say? And what do this point to? So you could get the full meaning. You may be one in life that start a mission and someone else may complete it. We see this with Joshua and Moses. There is a time and a season for everything under the sun. Yes, Moses started, but Joshua completed. God is in control, and it's all a part of his master plan. And what's for you is for you. You know, God is doing this thing. God decided all things before the world began. You got to know it. And that's what gives you rest. And if you trust God that he knows best, you could go on with your life and your adversities, your trials, your tribulation, your storms, your adversities, because you know God is in control. You see, Joshua, long years of service as Moses' field commander and personal aide, had provided him for this time and this season. You see, he would succeed Moses. He was in position and had served Moses well. You know, and sometimes, and most, not just on your job, but in your church, when you want to be elevated to the next position, and, you know, but until your change comes, you got to do well in the spot that you're in. See, Joshua served Moses well, and he was always learning that if when a time came, he would be in position to receive. But you got to be patient until your time comes. Those who lead must learn how to follow and serve first. You know, that's why God might have some of you guys in the position that you're in now. I ain't saying that is. I say it may be. You see, you must position yourself to receive what God has for you. And God is always providing the provisions. And I want y'all to look back on some things that may have happened in your life, your childhood, you know, your bad marriages. God used all of our life experiences to help mold and shape us into the intended purpose that we're going to walk into. You know, he might have wanted you to understand hard time that you could be understanding of a person having hard time after you come out of it. God uses all of our life experiences and our past to get us to where he wants us to be. You see, Joshua was one of those two spies whose life was spared by obedience in the wilderness. You know, God sent the spies, 12 spies, out to look at the land he was going to give them, and 10 of them came back with a bad report. Only two didn't, Joshua and Caleb. But that helped them because their life was spared. Because, you see, all males age 20 or older had to die in the wilderness, that whole entire generation, which was a part of their punishment. But Joshua would be able to teach the new generation. See, God knew he needed somebody there. That generation that was 20 and older, they were the ones that experienced the parting of the Red Sea and their trials and tribulation in Egypt. But you see, because of their disobedience, all of them died out, the whole generation. But Joshua and Caleb, besides some of the priests, Aaron and his Aaron's sons, not really Aaron, because Aaron didn't make it either, if we're going to say his name. But they didn't, you know, they would be there to teach. God let them know every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon. He said, I'm going to give it to you. So Joshua began to teach the children of Israel. And he continued to teach and told them all that God had done for them and is doing. And it was a whole new generation, and they was ready to enter Canaan. Now, Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people into a strange land, and they had to conquer it. You might say, Sister Diane, why you say they have to conquer it if God gave it to them? Because all the land had to be conquered because there were people living there. And that's just a tidbit for you to understand what they call a holy war in Jerusalem and Palestine and all of that. Some people were living on the land. God was with Joshua and the armies, and they conquered them all. And they, almost like you would think the Indians, they took the land. So some people in their hearts of hearts still feel like that's their land. So that's why the separation and some of the fighting is going to be going on from, it's been way back then, and it's not about to stop. But just as God was with Joshua, he is with us as we face our everyday tough situations. Many difficult people and temptation. You might work at a job and you have 6 employees and think it's the hardest thing in the world. Joshua had to lead more than 2 million people. God promised, however, that he will never abandon us or fail to help us. By asking God to direct us, we can trust that he will allow us to conquer many of life's challenges. Each one of us has a designed purpose that God has assigned to us. We have to be ready, willing, and able to do what God has given us to do. Oftentimes I hear people, you know, with such proudness and their chest stuck out, and they quote this, you know, scripture, what God has for you is for you, and what God has for me is for me, which is correct. But I'm going to put a little twist on it for you. But I want you to know tonight what God has for you to do is also for you to do. Yeah, what God got for you is for you. But God has some things he has that he wants us to do. And we should do it. You have to be in position for God's blessing, and God will always provide the provisions. There's a scripture in Philippians 2:13. When I read this scripture years ago, it gave me rest. It said, for it is God that working in you. It ain't talking about you working and doing nothing. But it is God that working in you to will and to do his good pleasures. That's telling you God is doing the work in you that he can achieve what he wants from you, molding and shaping you into your intended purpose. You just have to submit and obey. God is doing the work. God is doing the work. And you must put yourself in position to receive what he has for you. That's your job. And if we read the scriptures, I'm on Joshua, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. And you have your Bibles, follow with me. I'm using a King James Version. And we're going to, if you want to read out loud, nobody can hear you. Because it's always good to read out loud. You know, no one can hear what's going on in your house or your background unless you press the one button and I open the mic. So I'm going to read Joshua, the first chapter, 1 through 9. And it reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of God, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, 2. My servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even until the great seas and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast." God take Joshua. Moses is dead, and he showed Joshua all that he promised. You see, the book of Joshua opened with the Israelites camped along the east bank of the Jordan River at the very edge of the promised land. All right, remember, they was enslaved in Egypt. Moses came. They was enslaved 40 years. Moses came, and he delivered them out of slavery. They went in the wilderness for 40 years, and they was disobedient, and they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years, and now they out of Egypt. They done exodus out of Egypt, and they're on the edge of the promised land. They had just completed the mourning period for Moses, who had just died. You see, Moses started the mission with the Israelites, but he was not able to complete it. Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. And I want y'all to know, God loved Moses. God chose Moses. When God wanted somebody to go and speak for him to the pharaohs of Egypt, he sent Moses. When Moses was born, they had a decree out that all male children that was born, that the midwife was supposed to kill him. But we know that's not how the story ended for Moses, because we're talking about him, and he's a grown man. Go back and study it if you wanted to, you know, want to know. So God had a lot for Moses. God loved Moses. And yes, Moses didn't get to see the promised land, and yes, he died. But you know what the scriptures say? Moses was buried by the hands of God. And they say until this day, that's talking about 2018 tonight, no one has ever found Moses' grave. So if some archaeologists get on TV saying they was doing some archaeology work and they discovered the bones of Moses, you could say with authority, nah, because of what the Bible said. So I gave you that to let you know how much God was in Moses' back. But it's just going to show you there's times and seasons for everything in our lives. But you see, because he had disobeyed a direct command from God, God had commanded Moses to speak to a rock to give water. The people was in the wilderness, And they just was ragging Moses. You know, we thirsty, we thirsty, we thirsty. Go to God, tell him about water. He went to God. God told him to speak to the rock. The people was yanking on Moses so much in his anger, he hit the rock. The water came out. God didn't get the glory. And because he did that disobedient act in front of all of the people, this was something that God could not let go undone. So you got a little idea what happened to Moses. And Moses did not get to the promised land. You can find that in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter. See, sometimes the things you do, you saying you one of God's people, but the things you do in front of everybody, like with Moses, God says such a public display could not be ignored. And then Moses turned around and took the credit, so God didn't get the glory. I don't know if you all know, but it's dangerous to try to steal the glory from God by saying things like, I'm my own self-made man. Nobody don't do nothing for me. I do everything for myself. But what about God? Because first of all, even everything you got to take care of yourself, you couldn't have got it. You couldn't have gotten it if it wasn't for God. You see, his punishment for disobedience, pride, and misrepresentation of God's order banned him from entering the promised land. See, when God gives us command, we don't know all the implications. You know, God could tell you to do something simple that he wants to be something amazing revelation for somebody else. So you can't take God's commandments so lightly because you don't know all of the implications or the purpose of God's total intention for doing what he's doing or asking you to do. So we should just do it. And many times you may understand by and by. You see, God chose Joshua to succeed Moses as Israel leaders. You might ask the question, why Joshua? Tell you first things first, it was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. Everything that happened, God orchestrated or allowed it. So you need to remember that. Why Joshua? Because God planned it that way. You see, God knew that Moses would fail. He didn't cause him to fail. And this is a problem a lot of people have. But he knew he would fail, and Joshua would succeed him. You see, you have to remember that God is omniscient. And if you truly, truly understand that, you could understand the matters of your life as you go through them, that God didn't leave you or forsake you. He's right in the middle of it because he knows everything. I had a big discussion the other day with a guy, and he was saying that God created Judas to be a traitor. And God made Judas be a traitor to, turn Jesus in, a traitor. I said, no, God didn't. I said, Judas had his free will. He didn't have to do it. He decided to do it. He said, well, then if Judas didn't do it, who God was going to have? I said, man, God could do what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. God created all mankind, and the scripture teaches us when Abraham had to sacrifice his son and there was a ram in the thicket, God always have a ram in the bush. But God omniscient, his all-knowing, he know who's going to accept him and who's not. Not that he choose some to be saved and some not. Judas could have changed his mind, but God knew he wouldn't have. And so the man, you know, left off saying, you know, God made Judas a traitor. In other words, that's how God created him. But then it would take away from the fact that all of us are free moral agents, have the right to choose to do right or to do wrong. But anyway, that's what happened the other day, and it just came up just now. God was molding, shaping, and getting Joshua ready and in position to face the next matters in his life. You see, you have to be in position to receive your blessings. You know how sometimes people say, girl, you missed your blessings? That's how you can miss your blessings. Some people you can miss your blessings because you're not in position. God's saying, be over there at 3 o'clock and you're over there. You got to listen to what God is telling you and asking you to do because he's in control and he knows what he has for you. It's for you, and he want to deliver it to you. But you got to be in position to receive it. You see, no matter what Joshua faced in life, he held on to the confession of his faith. Joshua always obeyed Moses as a son would obey a father. Joshua knew his place. How many people try to tell a boss what to do? He knew his place. And if or when a change would come or a new season in his life, he was ready. You got to work well where you're at right now to be able to work in another position. You might can't get to the next level because of the way you act in the level that you're in now. See, when God allowed the story of Joshua to be placed in the Bible, it's a lesson for us. So whenever we study, we need to learn a lesson. He knew his place. Any time a change would come, he was ready, willing, and able. There may be something that you're hoping for in life, and you have to ask yourself if you want to be true to yourself. Are you ready and in position to receive it? You know, some people say they want to buy a house, and yet they allow their credit to be in shambles. You know, when you buy a house, you got to have a down payment, and yet they don't put nothing on the side. God is in the miracle working business. But if God want to give you something, he wants to know that you are able to keep it. Some people always tell me, you know, Sister Diane, I'm praying for a husband. And I make a joke out of it. Sometimes I say, God ain't going to let, you know, his little garly man come to you if you're a hot mess. You got to be, if you want a garly man, you got to become a garly woman. And if you asking God to put it together, he ain't going to put no mess together. Or if they have a woman praying in earnest and doing everything that God wants her to do in life, and she's praying for a mate, God's going to send her a nice mate. But some things you got to get right with you before you could get it. The Word of God is full of promises that God has given unto us as well. Just like the Israelite are God's chosen people, we are also his children. You know, he said once we accept Christ, we became heirs and joint heirs, hallelujah, along with Jesus Christ. That's why some people say Jesus is their big brother. But we was engrafted, we was adopted in. Because it was all for the Israelites, but God opened the door for the Gentiles and we walked into it, and we became heirs. And all of this happened because our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. There are instructions that must be followed so we won't end up like Moses. We must know what's for us is for us, and we got to know how to get it. And then we got to understand how to keep it. And we always have to give God the glory. God said he created mankind for his glory, all of his creation for his glory. And God said he's a jealous God, so you have to watch. You see, in good times and bad times, he's worthy to be praised. You must know his will, which is in the word, to know your inheritance. I don't have time to talk about this tonight, but it's coming in my mind. You see, if you look at a will that someone earthly make, a person make a will, and when a person make a will, they're putting in the will. I'm talking about a earthly will. In the will, you put everything you want to go to whoever you want to go to. Whatever you have, you put it in there, who to give it to. Now, that will cannot be opened until the person who have everything in the will, who wrote the will, until they die. Because you can't receive from them what they own that they may need for themselves while they're living. So when they die, the will is bust open. I come to tell you tonight, you know when we say the word of God is God's will, if you look at the top of your Bible, for the New Testament, it say God's will and testimony. Testimony. Watch. The will of God, the last will and testament. The Old Testament was God's will for the people then. The New Testament, the New Covenant, is God's will for the people. Now, God's will could not be opened until someone had to die. And that someone's name was Jesus. When Jesus died, the will of God was open for everyone. And everything he promised in his will for us is in there. And that's why when I made the last statement, you have to read God's word to know God's will and to know your inheritance. Hallelujah. There's many things that God has established for us that we haven't even comprehended. We don't even know how to receive it. But we have to keep studying and keep learning and keep trusting because God has given you inheritance. And if you want to know what's in the will of God for you, you got to read the word of God. And if we read the last scriptures, and I'll start at verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life. This is God talking to Joshua, y'all. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He told him in 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for inheritance of land. You know, God promised the land to Moses' descendants. And what he did, he took the children, Abraham and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. He took Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, 12 sons, and he made them the 12 tribes of Israel, which represent 12 nations. And each nation was to receive the inheritance of land. So when God is saying, be strong and of good courage unto the people, shall thy divide for an inheritance of land, which I swear to thy fathers to give them. That's why he always talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who he's talking about right here. 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all laws, which Moses thy servant command thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, That's why plenty of times I say, Lord, please give me tunnel vision where I can look straight forward. Because plenty of times he said, don't go to the left. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Take it for what it is. Don't turn it to the left or the right. Thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe it to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you're telling for us to be prosperous and good success starts with the word of God and meditating on it and doing what it's right here. 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Now that's a promise. And it wasn't just for Joshua and the children of Israel. It's for you, me, and every believer. That's how we could say God will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, right here, God is taking time to encourage Joshua and give instructions on how to succeed. Read the book of the law and do according to it that is written, and you will prosper. He assured Joshua that he would be with him wherever he go. You see, these are the same instructions for us to read, but it's not the book of the law, but it's the Bible. And we should do as we are asked to do so we would be prosperous as well. We have to stop just hearing and don't do. We have to become a hearer and then do. You see, he promised, I will be with you until the end. When God gives an assignment for us to do, this is the good part. He provides all the provisions necessary to accomplish the task. If you read the book of Joshua, when they got ready to go over there, you know, right after they got, well, they was right at the border of the Jordan River. And a lot of people know about the Red Sea parting, but a lot of people don't know God parted the Jordan River so that Joshua and the people could get to the other side. You see, so God was right with Joshua like he was with Moses. He wasn't setting him up to fail. You know, and then when they got on the other side, you know, and when they went into Jericho, God told them to march around the building 7 times, hit the lights and whatever else was in there. See, God already had the provisions, and he already had the strategic plan in place for Joshua to be prosperous and have success. That's the same thing God is doing in our lives. What he did for Joshua, he do for you. And if he did it for him, he sure can do it for you. You see, but it's our job to trust, submit, and obey. The words that God is asking in his verse were not just for Joshua. The words God was speaking wasn't just for Joshua or the Israelites, but for all of his children. And I don't know if you ever express and truly understand that you are a child of God. And if you never say that to yourself, I suggest you get in a quiet space, maybe in your prayer, and you speak it, because sometimes you have to speak it to achieve it. And you have to speak it to feel it in you. You know, you are a child of God. God provides the evidence for the people, letting them know that Joshua was his true choice, and now he was working with him. God will let everybody that you have to come in contact know anything he wants them to know about you. You don't have to go in there fighting, pulling, and tugging. And you know, your part is let your light so shine. God provide the favor, and favor is something that God touched the hearts and minds of others to work in your behalf. God's doing all of that, and that's what he was doing with Joshua. You see, God didn't set Joshua up to fail, because wherever he guides, he's going to provide. He's telling Joshua not to worry. He said, look, man, I got this. When God is working in and through us, he will supply that favor I was talking about from men and women here on earth towards you. How many times you've said, that lady, da-da-da-da, they didn't ask me for the other money. God is providing favor. God didn't set him up to fail. God always gives us instruction, which is found in his word, but it's up to us to follow them, because that's where our success lies. God chose Joshua. And that was a done deal. And he doesn't make mistakes. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that God is always with his people, working all things out together for your good. There are so many scriptures that he told you how you're going to have success. He said, you're going to be the head and not the tail. He said, trust me. He said, you're going to be the borrower, the lender, I'm sorry, and not the borrower. Hallelujah. Do you trust him? He said, I'll take your enemies and place them and make them your footstool. Do you trust him? You think he said it for everybody else and not for you? Trust him. He said, let me tell you, weapons going to form against you, but they all won't prosper. Hallelujah. How sometimes something formed against you and it seemed like the end of the world, and yet it turned out to be all right because it didn't prosper. Hallelujah. You see, God just loves us. And I'm going to tell you, because I know some people are beating up on themselves because they figure they don't read enough. And then others may figure they're not praying enough, or they don't go to church enough, or they don't go to church at all, or they didn't give enough tithes, or they didn't give enough to the poor, or they whatever, whatever. But if you accepted Christ as your Savior with your whole heart, you are saved. Once saved, always saved. But besides that, God cannot love you anymore by doing some of them things that I talked about. You see, the love of God is pure and it's holy. And you could say, well, Sister Diane, I thought if you do better, God loves you more. I'm telling you, God can't love you more by doing those things. And let me tell you, the things you do is for you. If you know, the Bible says better to sacrifice, it's better to obey than a sacrifice. If you don't do some crime or stealing, like they have in the Ten Commandments, if you don't do those things, you don't have to look for your back. You don't have to go to jail. See, it's your moral compass that God gave you to keep you straight on this earth till he bring you to the other one. But God can't love you no more than he already loved you. God gave his only begotten son to take away your sins, that you could have a right relationship with him. You got to remember how God loved you before you even went looking for him. And we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And when we decided to turn our life around, look what kind of life we were living. And even after we turned it around, we didn't get perfect. But the love that God has for you, it's like It's like all. I can't hardly even describe it. It's like all love, all pure love that God has for you. Because you're his. And I just want to say, trust him. Believe him. Get out the way. And then you could truly see the salvation of the Lord in your life. Take the blindness off and just walk in faith. Take the blindness off and rest in his grace. Take the blindness off and feel his mercy. Take the blindness off and let him have his way. That's our lesson for tonight. If someone would like to pray, someone have a comment, someone, anything you may want to say, this is our Bible study. You could add to the lesson. Hallelujah. Someone may want to bring us to the throne of grace because they say that's where mercy is found. Someone have a testimony. Someone needs prayer. Caller, your number is 909-609. Your mic is open. Area code 904. Yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes, I would like to thank you, especially when you were talking about the free will thing, when you brought that in there tonight, that touched me, that hit me, and I have a lot of understanding tonight. And I just need prayer. I need prayer for me to guide me, you know, to make sure I get this. I don't know everything, and I'm trying to learn. And I just need help. And I'm opening myself up, and I'm trying to get where I need to get. And I want to say thank you. It's like almost like I lost my mother in March, and I have two mothers now. They sisters, but both of them treat me like they son. And they look out
Come
for
on
me.
Now.
And one of them turned me on to this Bible.
Hallelujah.
I want to say Mama Pam. And her sister, I love both of them. They're like mothers to me. They're guiding me and they're helping me. And I need that. And I appreciate that. And Laura is the other one. I appreciate them. They've been there for
Praise
me.
Praise God.
And I'm just, it's like I feel like I'm stuck. I'm spinning in mud. My wheels are spinning, but I'm trying to get where I need to get. I need help and I need prayer. From this group, because I'm learning. I got my Bible here. I'm under the light where I can see, magnifying glass and everything. I just need it. I need help guiding me to get where I need to get.
All
and
right,
I thank
my
you,
brother. Do you want to say
Diane,
your name?
And I thank you. My name is Alex, and I thank you, Sister Diane. I thank you.
And I thank you, too. And, you know, it's not me trying to prophesize in your life, but the Bible said that your help is on the way.
Right, and I learned. I heard a lot of things that hit me. A lot of things you ad-libbed with off of the topic, that's what hit me the most. Thank you for that.
Thank God. Because I say it in my prayers, I open up, God, I decrease, you increase. Let the people hear what you know they need to hear. I ain't trying to take his glory. Hallelujah.
No, but I'm talking through you, and I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Alex. And everybody on the program, you guys heard that Alex would like to have prayer. And so we're going to keep him up, and we could call his name before God. And we're going to keep lifting you up, brother. And you be blessed. And I pray that you continue to listen in.
Oh, I am.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
caller, your number is 504-621. Your mic is open.
My name is Maddie, and Minister Diane, you really, really ministered that word so powerful tonight. I know that the Lord was speaking through you, and he was definitely sending through a message. And one that touched my heart was submitting and obeying and being in position to be used by God. And for sure, that's where I'm really, really working on. The Lord had put in my heart to write a book. I'll say since the year 2000, he started giving me testimonies, one behind the other. And I knew it was a book. And for me not to begin to sit down and write, I would have been walking in disobedience. And so we're in the year of 2018 now. I wrote part of the book up to 2012, and I got to a place that I wasn't satisfied in my spirit, and I felt like God wasn't satisfied either with what I had written and the way I had wrote it, but it was still his testimonies. And so I had to start writing the testimonies over in 2012. And at that time, I was saying, Lord, is it too late? Would I have time? Because I'm getting up there in age. But anyway, God put it on my heart to move with it at that point. And so I began to move with it. And so of submitting the manuscript, I submitted it once. I pulled it off the market, and the book was published. I pulled it off the market and made some other revisions. And so I'm about to step out on faith and put it back out there again until I get it right, knowing that these are testimonies sent by God. And they are for the people. They're not so much for me, although they help me for sure, but it's for the people that's behind me. And so I pray that you all would keep me in prayer that I complete this book, because that's one of my prayers, is that I finish it. I read once that there was people who didn't finish books, started writing books and didn't finish. And so y'all please keep me in your prayers that I get this book finished and back on the market. It's a book that's filled with Holy Spirit encounters, and they are genuine Holy Spirit encounters. It's encounters like you've never heard or seen before. And so I'm just asking for prayer.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Maddie. And you just remember, hold on to the confession of your faith, and remember, wherever God guides, he provides.
Amen.
You just got to trust him.
Amen.
And I thank you for sharing that word with us. Thank you so much, Sister Maddie.
You're welcome.
Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is
hello.
Open.
Hello.
Hey,
hello,
Sister Diane McBride.
How you doing? I wanted to tell you how much I love the way you do the background first. That really opens my eyes, and I feel more there, and I feel more knowledgeable when we go into the words. And right now, I'm still trying to position myself, and I'm still working on it. I love hearing about the new guy, Alex, and I was glad to hear everything he said. I want to have something good to say. My oldest son, Dustin, got a job, and he's been working all week, and he's doing good, and I'm just praying that everything is going to continue in his favor. And I still need prayers for my son, Derek, and myself and my grandkids. And always, I always pray for you. And Natty, I can't wait to read your book. And that's really it. And bless you. Bless you so much, Sister Diane. We all love you.
I love all of you, too. Thank you so much, Sister Diane McBride.
And thank y'all for the...
Say it again, Sister McBride, when you were saying thank you for the...
Just for the prayers, because it took a long time for my son to get a job. And he's 38, and it's been a long time since he had one. So it was really everybody praying, and I really, really thank everyone.
And thank you, darling. And be blessed.
Thank you, too.
Caller, your number is 219-427. I think this is Sister Flash, and your mic is open.
Yes, it is me. How you doing this afternoon, this evening, everyone? Sister Diane, I want to say this to Alex. Alex, I want you to know that you have already gotten to where you need to be. You just got to have, you can't, your situation cannot ever be as bad as mine. But I have faith. But with my faith, I also believe, and I don't care what anybody says or anybody does, you have to have them together. Yes, you're going to cry, because I've cried many a night, and I've cried hard, and I am by myself, and I don't have anyone. Sister Diane came on my job one day, and I heard her voice. I heard it. And I couldn't stare at her because that's rude, but I managed to get in her presence. She was the voice that I had asked God to allow me to hear. I asked for the ear to hear everything that he wants me to hear and the ability to see what I should see that's coming from him. Alex, please, my brother, hold on to your faith like it's the last thing you got in this world, and you believe like nothing else that it's going to happen, and it will. It will not happen right then and there, and it could be, you just don't know it. But please, my brother, do not lose that faith that you have, and you believe in it like nothing else. I lost my mom August 23rd, I buried her September the 1st, and I am not grieving because I prepared myself for that because I believe that God needed her more than I did, and I didn't want my mother here suffering because it would have been selfish of me. Just have your faith, brother. Hold on to it and believe it like nothing else. You know your name is Alex because everybody has called you that all your life. So you better know that there is a God in heaven and he got it. And ain't nothing nobody can do to stop it. And if you don't get what you want, Alex, it's because it's not for you. Please believe that. And you and I may never cross each other's path, but you just know Flash said it, and that's what it is. And you believe that. And you call Sister Diane, and you let her tell you something, because can't nobody tell me nothing on a Wednesday when it's time for Bible study. My mother was sick 1,000 miles away from me. Oh, no, Granny, that's what I called her. You know I got to go. I'm going to call you back. Because Bible study getting ready to start, and my mama would laugh and get off the phone. If you feel like it, call me back. I'm not missing it. If you come here and you just listen and you open your mind up to it, you're going to get your answers, because every Wednesday I'm here, and every day I'm struggling with something, and I don't know why, and I don't care why. But each day it gets better and better, and I dance and I sing every day. I don't care how long I cried the night before, because every day is a better day, because I have a testimony every day. Well, yesterday wasn't as good as today, and tomorrow is going to be even better. Please, Alex, please just keep your faith, because it's going to be all right. Trust and believe me, it's going to be all right. Today I left my house with $6 in my pocket, a disconnect notice from Entergy. They're going to auction off my storage. When I left my job, Alex, I stopped at the bank and deposited $180 in my account, and I still have $22 in my wallet. Tell me he won't do it. And I didn't steal it. And somebody brought me a Coach handbag today. Tell me he won't do it, Alex. Hold on to whatever faith and belief that you have, my brother, because that's all we got. And thank you, Sister Diane, for giving me my mom.
You're so welcome, darling.
Ooh, glory be to God. Won't he do it? And all I can do is laugh and say, thank you, Jesus, because I don't care about nothing else. Can't nobody tell me nothing.
All right, Sister Flash.
And Sister Diane, I still want to call my mama. I wanted to call her today and tell her about this person lady bought me on my job. But I had to text my sister and send her a picture, but that was okay, too. Granny know it.
Yeah.
But, Alex, please, my brother, please, my brother, please, that's all you got to do is believe it. Like, not like that's all you got is your belief. Believe in that faith that you have and don't let nothing take it away from you. Whew. Ooh,
Thank you. Take me off. You're all flash. But I want to thank each and every one of you. And just like we have been establishing, and God may be doing a new thing with Wednesday, I always ask anybody if they have testimony, want to say something and stuff like that. I want to give applause to Alex because he got on and he said what he needed. You might be needing something, and we meet up every Wednesday. And, you know, God said you're supposed to talk to the brothers and the sisters. Alex, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Sister Maddie, you know, and I would love to know more about your book. And I will give you some time on the program to, you know, when it comes out, to let us know and where we could get it and all that. Remember what I say, this is our Bible study. This is our Bible study, and we could act like it. God allowed this forum to happen. And I want to thank Sister Diane McBride for calling in, Flash, for your call in. Because, you see, other people could believe by the testimonies of the saints. Hallelujah. So if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button. If not, I'm going to lead in prayer because we'll just a little bit over the time. And it doesn't matter because I have a two-hour run. We just talk an hour when I get off the phone. So people be saying, oh, I was wanted to say something, but we was out of time. You're not going to be out of time. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead, and if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button, lead us out in prayer. If not, I'll go ahead and pray, and we'll end for the night. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back on Wednesday. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, God, here it is once more and again. All I can say is thank you. Hallelujah. Glory be to your wonderful name. Lord, I thank you for the word that you allow to come out of my mouth on tonight for your people. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon Alex and bless him in the blessings that he in need of. Lord, let him know how you said you'll be a mother to the motherless. And not only that, you have provided him with two new mothers. Hallelujah. You're such an awesome God. And look down upon Maddie as you guide her and lead her to what you want her to do in that book. Lord, just like you told Joshua, if he trust and obey you, how you would prosper him and he would have good success. Just like God told it to Joshua, Lord, I believe that you're telling that to Maddie. Sister Maddie on tonight, and Sister Diane McBride, I want to thank you for calling in and thank you for giving us a praise report. God is doing wonderful things in his people's lives, and it needs to be sound out because it could help someone else. And for that, I say thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for your sons and your grandsons, and I pray for all of us. And Sister Flash, I thank you for your testimony in the mighty name of Jesus, talking about your trials and tribulations, but you also expressed how God has brought you through. And for that, I say thank you, Jesus, not only just for the names that I call, Heavenly Father, but I ask that you bless everyone in a blessing that they're in need of. And have your way with Wednesday night Bible study, dear God. Put it any direction you want it to be in, and let us follow. And, Lord, I also thank Sister Pam. You know, even though I never met her, she's bringing them in. She's doing what your words say do. And Pam, you know, I want to thank you, God, for her, the work that she's doing. Lord, all these blessings and others, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. That's our program for tonight. I just want you to know God loves you, and so do I. Good night. And be blessed.